We'll begin on Daf Chavtes Amid Beis, the Mishnah three lines from the bottom, up from the bottom. Hamachabes Haner, he puts out the light. Mipnei Shu Misyare, Mipnei Nochrim, Mipnei Listim, Mipnei Ruach Rab, Mipnei Achola Sheyishan. He's not really interested in Meleches Kibui per se. He doesn't blow out the candle for the right reasons. When I say the right reasons, I mean for the reasons that the melacha was done in the Mishkan. That always becomes our paradigm. He does it for external reasons, extraneous reasons. The Mishnah gives four examples. He's afraid of the goyim that are looking for him. He's afraid of various marauders that might attack him. He's afraid of some sort of a psychological state. Or, for example, there's a sick person and the light is bothering him. In all these cases, potter. He's not chayev. And presumably he's not chayev because of what's called melacha sheina tzricha legufa, which is a principle in the Shabbos that Mitzvah Shem will get to a little bit later on in Masech the Shabbos. Kechasal aner, kechasal hashemen, kechasal psila, chayev. But oddly enough, in cases where he puts out the fire because he wants to hold on to the nair, meaning the nair is the receptacle that holds the oil, and he's afraid it's getting too hot and it might break, or he's afraid that the candle is consuming all of his oil. He'll be left with no oil, or because the wick is going up in smoke and he needs it for future use. So the Tanakhama of our Mishnah says in all these cases he's chayav achatos, and the Gemara is going to have a long analysis here. Why should he be chayav in these cases where he was potter in the whole list of the first cases? Rabbi Yossi potter mekulam. Rabbi Yossi seems to be very consistent, and in all cases, since he's not doing the kibui, as we said, the way it was done in the Mishkan, he's potter. But yet, even Rabbi Yossi somehow has an exception to this rule, chutz min apsila. In the last case, where he's putting out the flame because he wants to hold on to the wick is going up, it's getting completely consumed, he wants to save the wick, then Rabbi Yossi says that's exactly what Meleches Kibui, extinguishing, is all about. Mipnei Shu Ose Pecham, because he wants to improve this wick. So it means he lights the wick, he blows it out, and he rekindles the wick, and the second time he rekindles it, it's in better shape because he had lit it once. And that's called pecham. Pecham means the potential for another fire. So he really improved this wick in potential for another fire. That makes it into what's called the melacha tzricha legufa, and therefore he's chayav. Again, all this will bli neder pick up as we go through the sugya. But for today, what we have is a long agadata, and this agadata has a few parts to it. One part is about Shlomo HaMelech, and the other part is about David HaMelech. So the Gemara says the following, Midik Tani Seifa Chayav, from the fact that in all the cases where he tries to spare the wick or the oil or the actual receptacle, the nair, he's Chayav, Shmami No Rabbi Yehudahi. This indicates that the Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa Chayav, that even if a person is motivated to do a Melacha for the wrong reasons, meaning not for the reasons that it was done in the Mishkan, that's irrelevant. As long as he gets benefit from the Melacha, he has performed the Melacha deliberately, he's Chayav. So the Gemara asks, Reisha B'mayas Kina? What is the case of the Reisha? The Reisha says, amongst other cases, Mipnei Achola Sheyishan Potur, which means that if he was motivated to shut off the light because the light was bothering a person who was sick, and in such a case, he's potter. Now, what does it mean he was ill? How ill is ill? The Gemara analyzes it this way. If we're dealing with a life-threatening situation, mutar mi boile. Why does the Mishnah say potter? You know, he's off the hook, so to speak. He's not going to have to bring a chatos. The Mishnah should have used a much more powerful language, namely mutar. And mutter in this case means not only that he's permitted to do so, but he's obligated to do so without any hesitation. The Gemara is going to tell us later on in Masechta Shabbos that in the case of a sakana, then we shouldn't look for some secondary person to do the malacha or a guy to do the malacha. But even the gadol shebi Yisrael should do the malacha. The ibachol she'ein bo sakana. If, on the other hand, there's no threat to life over here, then chayev chatos mi boile. Then in this case, he should be chayev chatos. And the reason for that is because our Mishnah reflects the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And malacha she'netzricha legufa is chayev. I don't care why and what reason he had in doing the malachas kibui, he had full intention to do so, and therefore he violates malacha Shabbos according to Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara says the olam b'chol shi'esh po sakana ubedinu de lisnei mutter. You know, cross out the word patur and substitute the word mutter. It should have said mutter. But for a symmetrical reason, either the boy lisnei sefer chayev tana nami reisha patur. Since in the sefer, in the cases where he wanted to spare the oil and the wicks, he's chayev. So the Mishnah in the reisha, in the case of chole, even though that's mutter because we're obligated to do whatever we can to violate the Shabbos on behalf of a chola mesukan, but nevertheless, Tana Nami Reisha Potter, he uses the word Potter, which is the flip side of Chayev, in order to maintain a certain literary symmetry in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara has a Braisa which has a similar halacha, V'ha D'Tani Rav Oshia, and we have a Braisa in Rav Oshia, it says, B'Shvil HaChola SheYishan, Lo yechabe. If a sick person has to fall asleep, we're not allowed to extinguish the lamp. V'yim kibo, but if he went ahead and he did so, nevertheless, potter avalasar. He violates a malacha derabbanon, it means an isa derabbanon. And the question is, why? Is the braisa dealing with a person whose life is in danger? And the Gemara answers, no, that braisa is b'chol she'ein bo sakana. We're talking about a person whose life is not threatened, and there's no reason to do this malacha. And if you'll ask me, therefore, why shouldn't he be chayev? The answer is that this braisa is attributed to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the one who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. He holds that malacha she'netzricha legufa is patur, means the rabbanon are going to prohibit it, but on the Torah level, since he didn't do it for the same reason it was done in the Mishkan, therefore he's potter. Now at this point, Rabbosai, we're about to embark on a very long agadata. And truth be told, you don't need me for this agadata. I think it's just a group effort. You know, we're just learning this as a group. Sha'ul she'ela zuli ela mirav tanchum demin nevi. So that the Gemara is recording a question that was asked in the presence of Rabbi Tanchum. Now Rabbi Tanchum was asked a very technical halachic question, and it's going to take ages until we get to his answer, because apparently he was giving a drasha publicly, and he used this question as a jumping off point in order to give a drasha, to give agadata. What was the halachic question? The answer to which we'll have to wait a long time till we receive it. Ma'olachavos botzina denura mikami beisha b'shabta. Is it permissible? Lachavos means to extinguish, and botzina means lit nura, a candle, in the presence of beisha. Beisha is an ill person on Shabbos. Fine. So let's leave that question on the side. Pasach v'yomar. Rabbi Tanchum began his great drasha. And he speaks to Shlomo HaMelech as if he himself was Shlomo HaMelech. He talks to himself like as if he was Shlomo HaMelech. And he said, Ad Shlomo, you Shlomo, talking to himself. On Chachmascha, where's your wisdom? You're supposed to be the Chacham Mikol Adam. On Suchlas Nusach, where is your Seichel, your understanding, your wisdom? Lodayach, it's not bad enough. Shedvarecha Sosim Dire David Avicha, your words contradict the words of your father David. Eladvarecha Sosim Zedze, you yourself contradict yourself. Now the issue that we're going to have here is who's in better shape? The live people or the dead people? On the one hand, the live people are in better shape because they can do Torah mitzvahs. On the other hand, the dead people are in better shape because they have a tremendous impact after their death, leaving a legacy. David Avicha Omar, David says in Tehillim La'Amesim Ya'aluka that the alive people are better than the dead people because the live people can praise God. The dead cannot. Fiat Amar, but you say in Koheles, very famous pasuk in Koheles, V'shabeach ani asa mesim shekvar mesu, I praise the dead who have already dead. And the rest of the pasuk says, Yosim and Achayim, but more than the live people. Not only that, you yourself contradict yourself. V'chazarta v'yamarta, another pasuk of in Yechezkel, you said, Ki lekelev chai, a live animal, a live dog in this case, is superior, hutov, min haryeh hames, better than even the great lion, the king of the jungle, when he's dead. So who's greater, the live or the dead? David HaMelech seems to indicate, clearly it's the live people who are greater. And Shlomo HaMelech himself seems to indicate that the Kelev Chai is better than the Aryeh Hames. But on the other hand, Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles says, Mishabeach ani asa mesim. So Rabbi Tanchum offers two different reconciliations. So we're now going to learn Hakofa Aleph. Lo kasha. I can resolve this seeming contradiction. Chodik omer David lo amesim yaluka. Chachik omer. Liolam yasok adam b'torah mitzvahs kodem sheyomus. David was admonishing us that life is very short, so let's utilize life and exploit it to its maximum to dedicate whatever energies we have to the study of Torah, to the fulfillment of the mitzvahs. Because kevan shemes, once you're gone, batol min haTorah min haMitzvahs, v'ein laKadosh Baruch Hu shvach bo. The dead are not able to fulfill the mitzvahs and learn the Torah of standing, and God, from this perspective, has no real cover. There's no cover that God gets from these deceased. V'hainu domer Rabbi Yochanan, my dechsiv. What does the pasuk mean? Again, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, "Bamesim chafshi," that the dead are free. What does it mean that a dead person is free? Kevin shemes adam, once a person dies, nase chafshi min haTorah u'min haMitzvos. He's free of Torah and mitzvahs, and therefore mes is chafshi. He doesn't have the opportunity to fulfill Torah and mitzvahs. Although, as we go along, we'll see that even after a person is dead, his Torah mitzvahs during his lifetime have a tremendous impact, even posthumously. Udekamar Shlomo. So now we have to swing back to Shlomo HaMelech. Shabeach anias amesim shekvar mesu. What is the point of praising the dead? I mean, they don't have a possibility of fulfilling Torah mitzvahs. And Rabbi Tanchum is going to give Moshe Rabbeinu as a paradigmic example of someone who indicates that the Avos, meaning Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, had an influence even after their death. And had it, at what episode did this come to the light? Kishachatu Yisrael Bamidbar, after the Jewish people sinned at the golden calf, Amad Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yomer kama tefil sachnunim lefanav lo nene. Moshe was davening over and over again, and God did not hearken to his prayers. However, at what point did Moshe finally succeed in getting God to have compassion? Kshaama, when he said the following words, Zechar li Avraham li Yitzchak li Yisrael avadecha. Please remember the Avos, Miad Nene. And God, at that point, with his compassion, Bizchus HaAvos, he granted atonement for the great sin of the Chet HaEgel. And therefore, V'lo Yofa, Omar Shlomo, he asks him rhetorically, didn't Shlomo Melch say it very well? V'shabeach Anias HaMesim, Shekvar Mesu. All the tefillos of Moshe did not achieve the goal. But once he mentioned the Mesim are great. And my father, Zichron Levrach, used to always say, the Mesim are great as long as we remember the Mesim, as long as we are holchim b'darkeim, as long as we follow in their legacy. So that's Hakofa Alf. Now we're up to Hakofa Beis, in which Rabbi Tarfon offers another interpretation. Dover Acher, alternatively, Minhago Shel Olam, Sar Bosar V'dam Gozer Gzera, Suffolk Mekayim Oso, Suffolk Ein Mekayim Oso. When a flesh and blood king gives a decree, maybe the people will fulfill it, maybe they won't. Imtim Salom Mekayim, even if I grant you that they'll fulfill his decree, Bechayav Mekayim Oso, they only do it when they're afraid of the king during his lifetime. But Bemoso, once he dies, woo, Ein Mekayim Oso, they're off the hook. But Ve'ilu Moshe Rabbeinu Gozar Kama Gzeres Utikin Kama Takanos V'Kayomo Sein Li Olam Uli Ome Olamim. Moshe Rabbeinu's decrees are eternal, and we still follow them with the same awe and the same respect even after his death. So for example, Moshe Rabbeinu was Mesaken Kriyas HaTorah, that we shouldn't go 3 days without reading the Torah publicly. Or Moshe Rabbeinu was misaken the mitzvahs of Kibud Vionik. Or Moshe Rabbeinu was misaken that before a yontif, 30 days before a yontif, we have to start learning the laws of the yontif, and so forth and so on. Many, many different enactments of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we still fulfill them after his death. Certainly we understand why Shlomo HaMelech says that the praise and the influence of the dead is great, because this impact of Moshe Rabbeinu after his death is going to go on for all of posterity. Now Rabbi Tanchum is offering another insight into V'shabeach Anias HaMesim Shekvar Mesu. Why does Shlomo HaMelech praise the dead? Kidder Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. And this is a reflection of a statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav. Now I'm not exactly sure if Rabbi Tanchum was before Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav or after Rabbi Yehuda. I'm not sure exactly, but the Gemara may be saying that this reflects his approach. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, my dichsiv. What is the meaning of the pasuk? It says, "Asei imi os letova v'yiru sonai v'yavosha." David HaMelech pleads with Hashem for a sign so that he will no longer be ashamed, and the enemies will see his enemies will see this sign, and they will be ashamed. Now, all this has to do with the chet, the sin of David HaMelech with Bathsheba. And the enemies thought that this sin was not atoned for, and therefore they felt David HaMelech was vulnerable. And David asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Amr David say HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Mecholi Al Oso Avon." David had prayed in the most profound prayers. He was the paradigm of a Baal Tshuva, and asking Hashem for forgiveness. Amalo Machulucha. God, at the end, granted forgiveness. Amalo David goes even further. And he says, Asei mi os v'chayot. Can you somehow indicate some sort of miraculous event on my behalf that would indicate that clearly, and all my enemies would recognize that you had granted me forgiveness. Amalo b'chayecha eini modia. I cannot forgive you during your lifetime, but b'chay Shlomo bincha, during the life of your son Shlomo Melech ani modia. And now the Gemara has a very, very famous Haggadah about a perek in Melachim Aleph, which is dedicated to the establishment of the first Beis HaMikdash. That whole chapter goes into great detail about that wondrous day in which they consecrated the Beis HaMikdash, but something went awry, and Shlomo Melech could not get the Aron Kodesh open. Kishabana Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash, Bikesh Lahachnis Aron LeBeis Kodesh Kadoshim. He wanted to bring the Aron into the Kodesh Kadoshim. The Aron, as you know, houses the Shtei Luchos HaEdus. And on top of the Aron are the Kruvim, where the Shechina comes down. And that really sanctifies the Kodesh Kadoshim and the entire Mikdash. V'dovku Sha'arim Zeba Zeh. And the gates of the Kodesh Kadoshim were tight, and he couldn't get them opened. Omar, he recited Shlomo Esrim the Arba Renonos, 24 songs of prayer, Velo Nena, and it didn't work. Pasach V'Omar, and then he recited some of his father's words of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and prayer. Se'ush Yom Rashecha V'Nosu Pischei Olam V'Yom Melech HaKavod. Raise your heads, O gates, be uplifted, you everlasting entrances, so that God, the King of Glory, may enter, meaning the Shechina could enter into the Kodesh Kadoshim. Ratu Basrei Lemivle. Now, it's very interesting because there are two ways of interpreting this verse. When it says, V'yavo Melech HaKavod, the King of Glory may enter, who is the King of Glory? Is he referring to the King of Kings, or is he referring to himself? Ratu Basrei Lemivle. The gates thought that he was talking about himself. Miu Zek Melech HaKavod, they responded. Who are you? You think you're the great King of Glory? We have to open up for you, Shlomo Melech. Omelahu, Shlomo replied, you misunderstood me. Hashem Izuz V'Gibor, God is the mighty and strong one. I didn't have in mind myself. Don't open up for my honor. Open up for the honor of God. Chazar v'Omar, and Shlomo Melech said, Siyush Yarim Rashecha M'su Pizkei Olam V'Yom Melech HaKavod. He repeated himself. But in this case, he made it absolutely clear which Melech HaKavod he has in mind. Miu Zeh Melech HaKavod. Hashem Tzvakos U'Melech HaKavod Tzela. But nevertheless, now even though the gates understood clearly that Shlomo was pleading on behalf of the glory of Hashem, V'lo Nena, nevertheless, they remained closed. Kevon Sha'omar Hashem Elokim Al Toshev Pnei Mishichecha. Mishichecha is a reference to David HaMelech, because David HaMelech was Mashuach Melech. He was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha by Shmuel Anovi as the king of Israel. Is Zachra Lechazdei David Avdecha. Please remember all the great piety of David, your servant. Biad Nene. Immediately the doors of the Kodesh Kadoshim opened, and they brought in the Aron HaKodesh into the Kodesh Kadoshim. Biosa Shah. Nefchu Pnei Kolsone David Kishule Kedera. At that point, the enemies of David realized that Hashem had forgiven his sin. It became public knowledge. And their faces turned dark, like the bottom of a pot. In other words, if you put a pot on the fire, and the fire is too high, then the bottom of the pot becomes blackened. V'yodu kol om v'chol Yisrael. The whole of Israel knew, Shemochal HaKadosh Baruch Hu al oso om, and the God forgave the people for that sin. And now at the festive celebrations for those days of the Miluim, after consecrating the Mikdash, Hainu Dechsiv, Vayom Hashmini Shilach Esa'am, Vayvarchu Esa'am Melech. After 8 days, Shlomo Melech said goodbye to the people. He took leave from them. They blessed him, and he blessed them. Vayelchu l'aleihem, and they returned to their tents. Smechim v'tovei lev. And the Gemara now is going to darshan each part of this pasuk called Atova Sharos Hashem L'David Avdo L'Yisrael Amo. The pasuk goes out of its way to emphasize that this was the great gift that Hashem bequeathed and bestowed upon the people, David and his people and his nation. And David in this case, because now Hashem made it public knowledge that he had forgiven David for his sin. Vayelchu l'aleihem. What does it mean they returned to their tents? Shematzu nishoseihem v'tara. That they were able to implement an intimate relationship with their wives. B'tara usmechem, they were joyful. Shenenu miziv ashkina, they took with them back to their homes a little bit of the radiance of the divine presence. V'tovei lev. And why were they so excited? Because as a result of this entire episode, nisabru nishosem shekol echad v'echad v'yolda zohar. I'll call it Tova Sher Osa Shem L'David Avdo Shemachalo Al Oso Avon L'Yisrael Amo Di Ochelu Avon Di Yom HaKippurim. There was a double mechila here. There was not only a forgiveness for David and his sin, there was also a forgiveness for Klal Yisrael, because during those 8 days of celebration, they overlapped with Yom HaKippurim, and there's an entire Sugi Masechta Moikotin to explain how they derived the conclusion that they were allowed to eat and drink on that Yom HaKippurim, and whole Kal V'Chomer and so forth and so on. That's a sugya in Moed Katan. And they did not observe Yom HaKippurim, at least as far as Achil and Shasi is concerned. So they felt a little bit guilty about that. That's called Dechuya as opposed to Hutra. They just felt that although they were allowed to do so, but nevertheless, at the end of the day, they did not fast on that Yom HaKippurim. So they wanted Mechila for that, and Hashem granted them Mechila for that too. Now Rabbi Tanchum goes back to the psukim that he started with, to Ka'omar Shlomo. On the other hand, Shlomo did say, Ki Kelev Chai Hutov Min Arya Mes, indicating that the live are superior to the dead. Kid Omar, Kid Rabbi Yehuda, Marav, Yom Rabbi Yehuda, Mamai Dechsiv, Apostle Gentilim, Hodieni Hashem Kitzi. And now we're about to embark upon a whole new part of this Agarata. And this is David HaMelech and his death. David HaMelech turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says to him, let me know my end. What does it mean, let me know my end? Let me know all the major, please reveal to me beforehand, all the major episodes in my life, so I can prepare properly for them. Umidas Yomai, and how long I will live. So again, David HaMelech would know how many days he still has to live, so he can prepare for the ultimate. Eda Machadal Oni, and I will know when I will cease to exist. And that means he was asking what day he would die on, what day of the week he would die on, as the Gemara will interpret now in the name of Rabbi Tanchum. Omer David Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam, Hodieni Hashem Kitzi, let me know my end. Let me know all the events in my life, the major events and challenges I will face till the end of my life. Omer Lo, God replied, Gzeira Hi Milfon, I have a rule that knows no exception, She'ein Modiyin Kitzo Shel Basar V'Dam, that a man is not going to know what challenges beforehand, what challenges he's going to face in life. David continues, Umidas Yomai Mahi, how long will I live? In other words, when am I going to die? And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu refuses, Gzerahi Milfonai Shein Modiyin Midas Yomov Shel Adam. A person is not notified when he's going to die, because that could lead to depression, or for perhaps other reasons. But then David asks, Eda Ma Chadal Ani, on what day of the week will I die? On Malo B'Shabbos Tomus. So David HaMelech presses, Amus B'Yechad B'Shabbos, can you give me one extra day? And the reason for this, that is because the corpse of a body, if it dies on Shabbos, is going to lie without burial. And it's a busha, it's humiliating to the dead. Amalo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I cannot give you that extra day. Why? Kfar higia malchus Shlomo bincha v'yein malchus nogas b'chavata filu kimlo neima. That Shlomo Melech will have to take over the malchus on that very Sunday, that very day. And the law is that you cannot take away from one person's malchus for the sake of another person's malchus. So David HaMelech says, if so, almost bury Shabbos. Maybe I could die on a Friday. They'll be able to bury me before Shabbos. Amalo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to him. Again, a pasuk in Tilm Tov Li Yom Echad Shata Yosef VeOsek BeTorah. You don't know how cherished, how beloved it is for me, one extra day that you could sit and study Torah. Your Torah, in my eyes, is greater. May Elif Olo Shasad Shlomo Bincha LaHakir LeFanei Al Gavim Zbeah, from 1,000 Karbanos Ola that Shlomo HaMelech, your son, will bring me on the Mizbeah. I don't want to lose that one extra day. Now we're turning to Daf Lamed Omid Beis. David HaMelech wants to figure out, if he knows he's going to die on Shabbos, is there any way that he could overcome the Malach HaMavos? Kol Yomet HaShabsa, from that moment and on, every 24-hour period of Shabbos, Havi Yosef Vigoris Kuli Yoma. He would not stop for a moment from his learning. And this is based on a sugya in Masechtas Sota, that when a person is engaged in the study of Torah, the Malach HaMavos has no power over him. Hahu Yoma Deboi Lemenech Nafshi, but unfortunately the angel of death is too smart. So on that day, the appointed day for David to die, Kom Malach HaMavos Kameh, the Malach HaMavos shows up in front of David, Lo Yachilei, he couldn't somehow distract David HaMelech, Lo Avi Pasuk Pumei Megirsa, because David HaMelech did not stop learning. Omar, so he was frustrated, he asked himself the question, Ma Evidle, what can I do to get him to stop learning? Havile Bustina, there was an orchard outside David's house, Achori Bese. Also, Malach HaMavos Soliku Bachish Bilone. The Malach HaMavos started to climb up one of the trees, and he shook the trees, and it made a great sound, a very strange sound. Nafik Lemechse, David went out to the orchard to see what was going on. And as he was going out to the orchard, he continued his learning. He didn't stop for a second. Havi Solik Vidarga. He started climbing up the tree to see what was going on. And here the Malach HaMavos pulled a fast one. Ifchis Darga Mituse. One of the various dargos, the rungs of the ladder, broke and caved in underneath him. Ishtik Vinoch Nafshe. As he was falling, he stopped learning, that's called Ishtik, and he died at that moment. Now imagine, David HaMelech's body is on a Shabbos, out there in the orchard. Sholach Shlomo lebeit midrasha. So Shlomo asked the members of the academy, what do I do now? Is there any way I could move David HaMelech? He's lying in the sun. Abba mes umuto v'chama. His body is in the sun, who klovim shall base abba re'evim. And the dogs in my father's house are hungry. They want to eat up his body. Ma esa, what can I do? Sholchulei, they gave him the following heter. Chatoch nevela vanach lefnei klovim. Cut up a dead animal and feed the meat to the dogs. And viavicha, and how do you get your father out of the sun, out of the beating hot sun? Hanachalov kikaro tinok vitaltalo. This is what's called tiltal ayidei davar acher. It's a whole sugya later on in Masechta Shabbos. That if something is muktzah, but you put on top of it something that's important, that's not muktzah, which is called kikaro tinok, either a loaf of bread or a baby, and then you're allowed to carry the body. Because we see that you're carrying the kikaro, the tinok, agav the mess. And now Rabbi Tanchum comes back to understand and interpret the pasuk in Koheles. V'lo yofa, Omar Shlomo, didn't Shlomo say very well, Ki kelv l'chai hu tov min aryeh ha-mes? that the live dog is better than the dead lion. In other words, here was a situation where David HaMelech was dead, his body was laying out, and the only way that we can find a permission to move his body was by asking the great Chachamim. And even though the great Chachamim weren't on the level of a David HaMelech, but nevertheless, they were able to figure out how they could get the dogs out of here and how they could move the mess and overcome the problem of Mukta. Now, finally, we go back to the original question. Are you allowed to put out a light for the sake of a chola? Ula inyan sheil, as far as your question to Sheilna that you asked me, kad mechon, in my presence. Ner kruya ner. The word in Lashon Kodesh for a candle is a ner. Unishmaso shel adam kruya ner. And David HaMelech is going to teach us that the neshama of a person is also a candle. And it means that the main part of the candle that holds the wick is the body, and the flame is the soul. And ner Hashem nishmas adam, that the ner is the neshama of a person. And therefore you're asking me, am I allowed to put out the candle, which means that the body itself will die. Mutav shetich ben ner shel basar v'dam mipnei nero shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I would rather extinguish a human candle, so to speak, for the sake of a greater candle. And that greater candle is the ner shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the neshama that God put into us. So the neshama of a person is greater than his guf, and therefore, even if it means that we will violate the Shabbos by putting out this candle, but we're going to do so for the sake of the neshama, so that the neshama can remain in the guf. Omar Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rabbi Shmuel bar Shilat Mishmei d'Rav Bikshu Chachamim Lignos Sefer Koheles. There were contradictions in the book of Koheles, and therefore Chazal wanted to keep it out of the Kisvei HaKodesh. So many contradictions. Why at the end of the day did they decide to keep the Koheles within the Kisvei HaKodesh? We're going to take the beginning of the book of Koheles and the end of the book of Koheles. And in both cases, the emphasis is on Torah. And therefore, everything in the middle is going to be justified within those bookends. Tchilaso divrei Torah dechsiv. It says, "My Yisrael li adam b'chol amolo shiyamol tachas hashomesh." What does a person gain from all the labor that he puts in during his lifetime? It's just a waste. It's frustration. It's vanities. V'omri devei Rav Yanai. What did Shlomo Melech mean when he said tachas hashomesh, underneath the sun? Tachas HaShomesh, in this world, this limited, finite, physical world, who di'eno, di'enlo, there is no extra profit from all his labor. He doesn't gain anything from all his labor. It's all vanities. But Kodem Shemesh, but you talk about something that came before the sun, meaning the world to come, the ultimate world of infinity, of eternity, ah, yeshlo, then he'll see profit from all his works, meaning his Torah and his Yerushalmayim and his Maisim Tovim. All that tircha, all that work, all that sweat and toil is meaningful because that's called Kodem HaShemesh. But Sofo Divrei Torah, the end of the book of Koheles, is even more important. Tichsiv Sof Tavar HaKol Nishmai, after going through 10 chapters of all that we have to do and sweat and toil, what is it called? What's the bottom line, says Shlomo Melech? Es Elokim Yirev, Es Mitzvos of Shmor, Ki Zeh Kol HaAdam. You want to define man, and what does man take from this world, this finite world that's full of vanities and full of frustrations and full of sheker? It's Yorei Elokim, it's fearing God, it's fulfilling his mitzvahs. That is the essence of man, and that's what man takes with him to the world of eternity. My Zekol Adam, the Gemara wants to embellish those last words, this is all of man. Omar Abelezer, Kol Olam Kulal Nivra El Bishvil Zeh. If you have a person who is a Yorei Elokim, he's fearful of God, and he fulfills his mitzvahs, the world and the creation was justified just for such a person. It was all worth it. And Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Amar, Shokul Zeh Keneged Kol Olam Kulo. If you take a person who's Yorei Hashem, and he fulfills his mitzvahs, and you put him on one side of a scale, he outweighs the entire scale, the entire world. Shem ben Azi Omer, he embellishes even further. Amile Shem ben Zomar, Lo Nivra Kol Olam Kulo, Elo Litzeves Lazeh. The entire world was created only as an accompaniment for this person. And the Mefarshim explained that although all three statements are very, very similar, there are nuances of differences between them. And the one who dedicates himself to this job, to this task of trying to explain these different statements and the differences, is the Maral Miprag. And although we don't really have the time to go through the Maral Miprag in great depth, but we'll just mention one or two points that he makes. And he says that according to the first Mandi Omer of the three, the rest of humanity is justified for his creation. And according to the second interpretation, what he's adding is that each person who is a Yorei Hashem is like a world unto himself. And the third interpretation adds another element to the equation, and that is to accompany him, which means that we should basically be there to serve him, and all of mankind is justified in order to serve Latseves Lazet, to accompany this person, which means to serve him. Umay Tvarav Sosrim Zezeh. Are there other examples which led the Chachamim to be to question the status of Koheles? Are there other contradictions? And here we have a contradiction about Midos. Many different contradictions. The first one is about the relationship between anger and laughter. On the one hand, Shlomo Melch says, "Ksiv tov kas mischok," as if to say anger is better than laughter. Uksiv. But yet elsewhere in Koheles, Shlomo Melch says, "Lischok amarti mahol," I praise laughter. So it's a great thing. Another contradiction. What is the relationship between simcha, what is the attitude towards simcha, towards joy, ksiv? In one pasuk it says, v'shibachti ani es ha-simcha, and Shlomo Melch praises joy, uksiv, but later he says, u'le-simcha mazo osa, what does joy do? It doesn't accomplish anything, it's meaningless, it's vanity. Lo kasha, and the Gemara says that we can reconcile these contradictions. Tov kas mischok. What does it mean that anger is better than laughter? Tov kasha kosa kodesh baruch hu al tzadikim b'olam hazeh. Although God meets out his anger and punishes the righteous in this world, that's a good thing. And that's even better, mischok shemesachek hakodesh baruch hu al rishoyim b'olam hazeh, even though God bestows upon the evildoers, you know, great things, they enjoy this world. But they're getting paid up for any sort of merits that they have in this world. They'll be absolutely meritless and they'll be completely destroyed as far as the next world is concerned. On the other hand, the tzaddik, God doesn't pay him up in this world for his good deeds. God punishes him for whatever punishment he needs in this world so that he'll come to the next world and get pure reward. And what is the attitude towards Schok, l'schok, amarti moholol. On the one hand, Shlomo Amel praises laughter. Ze schok shemesachek HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzadikim bi'olam haba. This is God's enjoyment together with the righteous people in the world to come. But in this world, that's the schok of Rishoyim, and that in that sense, kas is even better than schok. And what about simcha? What is the proper attitude towards joy? V'shibachti ani es ha-simcha. On the one hand, Shlomo Melch says that simcha is great. On the other hand, he berates simcha. Simcha shel mitzvah. The joy that a person has with a mitzvah. That joy is an essential part of the mitzvah itself, and it gets the status of eternity. Shlomo Melch makes fun of Simcha, and he puts it down to Simcha Masa Osa. What does Simcha accomplish in this world? Zo Simcha Sheino Shel Mitzvah. That's just, you know, laughter, joy, but there's nothing significant about it. And this is how this is how the Gemara reconciles all these contradictions. And now when we talk about Simcha, the Gemara goes on to say, L'lamdecha she'ina shechina shora lo mitoch atzvus, v'lo mitoch atzlus, v'lo mitoch schok, v'lo mitoch kalososh, v'lo mitoch sicha, v'lo mitoch dvar betelim, v'lo mitoch dvar simcha shel mitzvah. If you're asking how to bring the Shechina down from the higher spheres to these lower spheres, Shechina will not come when there's gloom, nor when there is laziness. Laziness is also a kind of gloom. People who cannot motivate themselves are in a quasi-state of depression. And the other extreme, when a person thinks that the world is just very superficial, let's just have fun, without a serious attitude. And that's called kalos rosh. Kalos rosh is when you make fun of other things. You become very cynical. And sicha is just idle chatter. And Tvar B'Telim means idle conversations. And here there's a whole discussion in the Maral Miprag about the difference between these two cases of Tvar B'Telim and kalos and sicha B'Telim. I mean, they sound very, very similar. Perhaps Dvar B'Telim are things in which people say because there's an empty quietness, so they have to fill in that quietness. Until we finally get to the key to bring the Shechina down. And what is that? Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And the Gemara says in the fourth parak of Shabbos, of Brachos, that if you want to daven, then your attitude towards davening is going to have to be one of Simcha Shel Mitzvah, because the whole purpose of Tefillah is to stand in front of the Shechina. So if you're in a state of gloom, of depression, Chas V'Shalom, then you can't bring the Shechina down. There's a whole, as you know, I don't have to tell you, there's a whole movement in Chassidus called Bretzlev. Of course, all Chassidim put the emphasis on Simcha, but especially in Bretzlev. Mitzvah Gedolah. Shenemar, and where do we see? We're learning now about Elisha Novi. V'ata Chuli Menagen. At one point in his life, Elisha was suffering from a state of depression because he had lost his Rebbe, and he needed something to bring him to a state of joy so that he could get back his nevuah, his prophecy, because there's no prophecy without simcha. Is Chuli Menagen. This is the power of music. He asked for the professional musician to come. Only when he was uplifted to a state of joy as a result of the music, only then was the Shechina, did the Shechina return to Elisha, and he was able to prophesize. Omer Rabbi Yehuda v'chein l'dvar halacha. So too, when you teach halacha, you should teach it with joy and bring joy into the educational experience. Omer Rava v'chein l'chalom tov. If a person wants to have good dreams at night, then when he goes to sleep, he should be in a state of simcha, in a state of joy. Eini, is this really true? V'omar avgidol amarav kol tamid chacham sheyoshev lifnei rabo. When a student sits at the feet of his Rebbe, and if it's ein sfasosav notfos mar, if he's not in a state of awe and fear, he gives a mushel of lips that drip with bitter dread. He can't even keep his saliva. He's so fearful. Tichaveno, then he should be singed. He should be punished. In other words, the proper attitude of a Talmud in front of his Rebbe is that he's sittering. He's literally shaking. And you're now going to introduce some sort of joke, some sort of laughter? Shenemar, the Pasuk tells us, in Shir Hashirim, Sfos, Sifsosov, Shoshanim, Notfos, Mar, Over. And this is all an expression of fear. Al tikri mar over, which is a reference to a kind of a plant, Ella, but rather mar over, something like a bitterness, meaning a state of fear. Al tikri shoshanim, don't read it as roses. Ella sheshonim. In other words, when they're studying, like vishinantam is lashon of shinu. Lo kasha ha berava veha betalmid. The difference is between the teacher and the student. And some interpret it to mean, as we'll soon see in the Gemara, that the Rav should try to break the silence and the sense of fear by telling a little bit of a joke. My Rebbe used to read the attendance before he started the shiur. We were all in a state of anxiety, but when he read the attendance, he would introduce a little bit of a lighter speech. But as far as the Talmud is concerned, he's got to be in a state of awe. Iboy semahava baraba. Lokasha ha mekami deliftach ha delibasa deliftach. Before you start the shiur, the teacher begins with some sort of a joke. But during the shiur itself, that there's no room for jokes. Once we start the shiur, then we get serious. Ki ha de rabba, this was the custom of rabba. Mekami de pasach lu rabbanan, before he started his lecture, Omar Milsa de Bedichu, so he would start with a joke. I don't know how he came up with a new joke on a daily basis. Don't ask me that question. I've been trying to solve that problem for a long time. Ubadchi Rabbanon. And the students would laugh. Lesof, but afterwards, after he finished with the joke, Yosef Bey Moso Pasav Shmaita. He would make sure that the students were sitting in a state of awe, and then he would begin his teachings. Now that Chazal have decided that they might conceal the book of Koheles. That was the original thought of the Chachamim. Now the Gemara wants to talk about Mishle. There are some problems in Mishle as well. Afsei from Mishle Bikshu Lignos. They wanted to get rid of Mishle and keep it excluded from the Holy Writ. Then it would be only 23 books instead of 24 books. Shehoyu, Dvarim, Solstrom, Zazeb, because there are contradictions. Mifnei Malo Gonzu. And why at the end did they not conceal it? Amri, they said, Sefer Koheles Lav Ayinu Veshkachin and Taima. We had problems with the book of Koheles, and we were able to find resolutions. Is Hachanami La'ainon, let's study Mishle and see if we can reconcile all its contradictions. My Dvar Sosu, what are the contradictions? Ksiv, one Pasuk says, Al Ta'an Ksil Be'iv Loso. The Ksil is the cynic who tries to undermine the Chachamim. And don't bother answering him. Let him yell and scream. Pay no attention to him. But another pasuk says, "Anek seal bivlaso." You should answer a fool, a cynic, based on his folly. Lokasha habadiri Torah habadili mili dialma. If he says things that have nothing to do with Torah, let him go. Don't even bother chaffering with him. But if he says something to undermine the Torah, then the respect and the honor for the Torah is at stake. You better give him an answer. And the Gemara now goes through a long agadah to illustrate this. A whole bunch of different altercations between a ksil and a chacham. Kihad ahu the aso lakami derebi. Somebody came in front of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Amale, and he said to him, Ishtecha ishti, which means that I had a relationship with your wife, ubanecha banai, and your children really my children. Amale, ritzoncha shetishre koshal yayin. He offered him a glass of wine to drink. Shasa upaka. He drank and he died. Again, we could have, I don't know if we'll have time today, maybe tomorrow, a long discussion about this. Ha'udi also, the same story happened to Kamid Rab Chia. Amale imcha ishti. Your mother is actually my wife. And as I had a relationship with your mother. Fiata bini. And you're my son. In other words, you're a mamzer. Amale Rab Chia replied to him, Ritzon Chetisha Kosh, I'm have a cup of wine. Shasa upaka, and he died. Amale Rab Chia. He says that Rebbe had devised a certain prayer V'lo l'shavye b'nei mamzeri, because chas v'shalom, if Rebbe wouldn't have responded to this person, then the whole all of Israel would have said that Rebbe's children are mamzeri. De Rebbe ki avi matzli omar. But as a result of Rebbe's tefillah, Hashem answered his tefillah. And what was Rebbe's tefillah? Yirotzon v'necha Hashem elkeinu shetatzilenu hayom mi'azei ponim mi'azos ponim. Save me from these brash persons, these azus ponim. And as a result of that tefillah, God took away the life of that person. And the same tefillah helped for Rabbi Chiya, so that no one would say about him. V'divrei Torah mayhi. Can we give an example of a fool? Again, I don't like the translation fool. I think it's more of a cynic who came to a rabbi to undermine the Torah, and the rabbi had to deal with it. Ki hadi Yosef Rabbi Gamliel v'kadorish he was talking about describing the ultimate redemption. Asida isha shetelei b'chol yom. In the future, at the time of Mashiach, a woman would give birth each day. It doesn't mean that a day would go by and she'd give birth to another baby. It means that another woman would give birth the next day. There would be a constant daily chain of births. Shenemar horov yoledes yachtov. Ligle golavosa talmid v'yomar. There was some sort of a ksil who started making fun, and he quoted Pasuk in Koheles. Ein kol chodesh tachas hashamesh. You know, you're describing something that's supernatural, and yet Shlomo Melech guarantees us that there are no chidushim. Nothing in nature is going to change. Lama Leis or Gamliel had to give him an answer. Bovar Eka Dugmasam Ol Mazeh. I'm going to show you something of this kind, even in the biological world that we live in today. Nafik Achvi Lei Tarnagolis. And he showed him that a hen lays an egg, and every day there another egg is laid. Vesu Yosef Ram Gamliel Vikadarish Asidim Ilono Shemotzim Peros Bechol Yom. In the time of the ultimate redemption, the trees will bear fruits each day. Shenemar, and he derived it from a pasuk in Yechezkel, v'nosa anof v'osa pri. It shall bring forth branches and bear fruit. Me'a anof b'chol yom, just like new branches are created on the tree on a daily basis, af pri b'chol yom, there eventually will be fruits on a daily basis. Liglag also Talmud Yomar, the Ksil came along and he made fun, and he says, "Well, Ksim ain't called Chadosh Tachas Hashemesh." Alos from Gamliel said, "I'll prove to you that even in nature such a thing exists." Areka Dugmosav Olamazeh Nafak Achvi Leit Slough. Slough is called in English a caper bush. And it has three different products. It has the basic part of the tzlaf, and then it has berries that come up, and it has leaves that come up. And this happens one after the other. And finally, the last story is Tzu Yosef Ragamliel, the Kadarish Ragamliel, was saying, Asid Eretz Yisrael Shetotzi Glus Kalos. On a daily basis, the trees will give forth full loaves of bread, Ukli Melas, and they will produce woolen clothing. You know, you don't even have to take the fibers and make threads out of them. Shenemar, and again, he darshens a pasuk in Tehillim, Yehi Pisas Bar Ba'aretz. And what does this mean? There'll be a Pisas Bar, which means an abundance of grain in the land, and he's interpreting it as bread rolls and woolen clothing. There's no creation under the sun. I'll show you something in this world. And he showed him various types of mushrooms that would grow overnight. The achle melas navra bar korah. And as far as the reference to these woolen clothing, Rabbi Gamliel showed him a young palm tree And as we mentioned in the past, if you take off the bark of the palm tree, then between the outer bark and the inner part of the wood, you'll find something called a bast, B-A-S-T. And that produces on a daily basis. Now the next Haggadah to Blinetta for tomorrow is about Hillel and the Midah of humility. So I wish you all a great day, and thank you so much. And again, please, if you get a chance, to go through some of these Haggadahs over and over again. They're beautiful Haggadahs. We don't have time for going through it on a more in-depth basis.